Dear Lord, we've been on your road, some of us for a very long time, and some of us are just getting started. So we pray today that you would help us to hear your call again, that we would be able to trust you with the rest of our journey from where we are right now. So we ask you would take your scripture and touch us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when Jesus starts out and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," I have a reaction to that. I don't know about you, but it's sort of, well, how do you do that? You know, if I'm troubled, how do I not be troubled? And it's fair, I think particularly today, it's very important to kind of get to the bottom of it, because today is a day of a lot of transitions in our community. You know, as we're speaking right now, commencement is going on at St. Andrews University. And so young people are transitioning from college to what's after college. Their parents' basement, but yeah. But we are all, I'd love for you to think about what your personal transition is right now, what you're dealing with, what you're thinking about. Because I know a bunch of them offhand. And they do the whole spectrum. I know people that are at the end of their life, and that's a transition to what God has next, which is even better. My son Matthew and his wife Hannah are sitting on go for this baby. It's due Saturday. And he calls me up every once in a while and goes, "I don't know, Dad." And I go, "You know, Matthew, none of us feel ready. None of us feel like, you know, we're going to be, you know, super dad. You know, you just, the nice thing is it takes a long time. It takes 9 months to get used to the idea of even being a dad. And then you start learning how to do it. And there's everything in between. Mackenzie is going to be going to the School of Math and Science in the fall. That's a new thing. And she's excited about that, and her family's excited. I'm excited. But it's a transition, and it's a real transition for her mom, for her family, too. They all have to get used to that idea. And there's everything in between. This road that we're on, this way that we've been called to, it never stays still. It never stays the same. Even if you're thinking about retirement, there are things that you have to transition. I had a friend just last week had a stroke. He's got to change. His life is changing. How much exercise he can get, what he has to eat, how mobile he can be. That's a transition, and that's a new road that he's going to be on. And in our scripture today, and I'll give you the context of this in a minute, the disciples are about to be a big transition. They just don't know it yet. You know, they think this is a Passover. It's the normal Passover. Jesus is the only one in the room that knows what's about to happen in the next 24 hours. So just so you'll know where we are, this 14th chapter of John, but they are in the upper room, and they have had the Last Supper, and Jesus has washed their feet. He even washed Judas's feet that night, even though he knew what was about to happen. Isn't that something? And then they had the meal, and he says, "One of you is going to betray me," and go do it quickly, and then Judas left. And so now the disciples are basically thinking that Jesus went to get the preparations for the Passover, because they're going to, you know, they all have to go inside for Passover. And so when Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," I wonder if some of them are sitting there going, "What? What do you mean? We're not. This is great. This is our group. We're together. We're having Passover together." They don't know. And so Jesus is telling them what they need to know for what's about to happen. And you go back. Just go back to the very first time he called them. All right? Just the fishermen, for instance. That was a transition, too. They had to lay down their nets and go follow down that road, and to trade things that were familiar for things that were unknown. They didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that's key to these transitions we're in right now, is that we are going from the familiar to the unknown. And Jesus knew that night, if you push it forward in time to this night right here, Jesus knew, man, they are clueless. They have no idea what's about to happen. And so he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You're going to go from what's familiar to what's unknown. And so this is where this starts. Now, when Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus was troubled some of the time. I just thought, I was seeing that, and I was going, you know, just two chapters earlier, chapter 12, 27, Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. And then verse 27 or 12, he says, now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it's for this reason that I have come into the world. So Jesus was troubled. And then the next chapter, 13, he's talking to the disciples, and he said, very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And this is verse 21 of 13. And after saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. So Jesus was troubled. So it's obviously, since Jesus was without sin, being troubled is not a sin, because Jesus was troubled. But what he's doing here for us, and you think, I hope you've identified your transition right now, is he is telling us how to not let our hearts be troubled. And if he says let, that means we have some control over our trouble, our troubling, how troubled we are. Don't let it. Don't let your heart be troubled. And this is where I get a little frustrated with it, because I think, well, dude, I get, you know, if I'm troubled, I'm troubled, you know? And it's kind of like going, don't worry. Well, I'm kind of worried about not worrying now. And this, what this becomes, it becomes kind of a conversation. So Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So there's almost like a pause there where somebody goes, well, how can we do that? How can we not let our hearts be troubled? And Jesus says, okay, one way, believe in God and believe in me. And this whole speech really is going to be about how he is God. Yeah, he is the Father. So he's trying to get them. And, okay, this is probably further down in the weeds than you want to go with the Bible, but I'll tell you anyway. In Greek, you learn Greek pretty early. You know, it's the first thing you do in seminary. They give you the Gospel of John because it's the easiest one. The guy who wrote it was not a native Greek speaker, so he didn't have a lot big vocabulary. So, anyway, those of you who know English grammar know that there is something called the imperative, believe. It's a command, believe in me. And then there's something called the indicative mood, which is you believe. You believe in me. In Greek, those two are identical. You have to guess. So right there, it could say, you believe in God, you also believe in me. And some translations do it that way. And it could be any combination. You say, believe in God, you believe also in me. Or it could say, you believe in God. This one I like. You believe in God, believe in me. That one makes more sense to me. Believe in me. And so that's kind of the part of the solution to not letting your heart be troubled. Because another way to say it is, have faith in me. You have faith in God. Have faith in me too. That's one way to not let your heart be troubled. Have faith in me. Easier said than done. And so you almost wonder, you know, what's the conversation continues. And then Jesus does this whole thing, my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go ahead and change the slide. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will, can you change the slide? There it is. Take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And you know the way to the place that I'm going. And Thomas, where would we be without Thomas? Thomas is the one who says what we think, right? He's the show me state. It's like, let me ask what I want to ask. And Thomas says, hold up. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Now, that is the most sensible thing anybody could say. You know, Jesus is talking, and they've had to kind of rein Jesus in a few times too, you know. Jesus gets rolling, and they got to come back a little bit and explain this to us. But Jesus is already talking about heaven and everything, and Thomas is just like, oh, wait a minute. We don't know where you're going. And they don't. They do not know. They don't know he's going to be crucified within 24 hours, and it's going to be just them. And they've got to leave what's familiar for things unknown. They're going to have to do stuff. It's going to be very uncomfortable. That transition, that road is going to be really uncomfortable. And so when you think about it, we do not know where you're going and how can we know the way there. The best analogy is a very millennial, 21st century analogy, the GPS on your phone. Last weekend, I was down in Conyers and, Dave's dad's funeral. And then on Sunday, I went to the church I'd been a pastor of, Gum Creek Pres. And then afterwards, I was going to go to lunch with some of those folks. And so I had to stop for gas, and they said, well, we'll text you the address of the place. And it's good because Covington, which is the town next to it, Covington now, well, it's been a movie set for a long time. The Dukes of Hazzard was shot in Covington, Georgia. And then after that, when we were there, it was Heat of the Night with Carol Connor. That was shot there. Well, now this thing called Vampire Diaries is shot there. And you drive into this old southern town, and there's hundreds of people walking around like that. And the people I'm with who live there hate it. Tourists. There's hundreds. And I thought, well, yeah, but that'd be really good for business. And they say, yeah, but every time they shoot, they shut down the whole square. They say, okay, you can't, y'all got to close because we're shooting. So they lose all their business. So anyway, I'm at a gas station. My phone jingles. And it has the address of the restaurant. Okay, so that is where we're going. And so I put that address, right? This is what you do. You copy it, and you put it in that GPS, and you put, what do? You hit start, right? And then you see that lovely blue line that tells you the second part. How can we know the way? You have to know where you're going to know the way, right? And so that is what Thomas is just saying. It's what is totally common sense. Lord, what's the address? What's the address so I can get the blue line, so I can know the way? And Jesus says something very opaque back. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now that is really interesting. I am the way. Now, I kind of know that intellectually, but at the transition I'm at right now, it's hard. You have to re-up for it. The first time I decided to be on the way, I was just finished senior year at Scotland High School, and I had learned very early that it's very hard to please Jim Morgan. And because I would have a girl I wanted to go out with, and somehow we would go out. You know, God softened her heart, and we would go out. And then we would be dating. And then after a while, she's okay, but that girl is the one. And that cycle would go out with that girl, and that she'd be okay after a while, and then, you know, and I realized I couldn't make myself happy. Same thing with guitars, by the way. I would see a guitar I wanted so bad, and my parents would get it for me for Christmas, and I'd play it and play it, and it's okay after a while, and then I see another one. And I would be a rock star if I had that guitar. And so I went to Montreat Youth Conference after my senior year of high school, and there was a guy preaching named Jim Smith, and he said, you don't know yourself well enough to make yourself happy. And I went, absolutely. That is so true. I do not know myself well enough to make yourself happy. He said, but God made you. God knows everything about you. And God knows what will give you fulfillment and peace. So, and this was the key phrase. He said, give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. Say that with me. Give as much as you know of yourself to to as much as you know of God. And that made so much sense to me. And so that, they did an altar call in the Anderson Auditorium. I don't think they do that anymore. And everybody went forward. I went out the back and walked around Montreat. And just, I was saying, okay, God, I'm not even sure you're real, but I'll give as much as I know of myself to as much as I know of you. And so that's what happened. And when I went to Wake Forest, so that was the first transition. That was leaving something that was fairly familiar and going to college. And then when I was at Wake Forest, I got into a Christian fellowship, and I really did not know what God was calling me to in my life. I knew I should have a call. I really didn't know what it was. But I had to declare a major my sophomore year. And Wake Forest was very hard scholastically, and I wasn't making great grades. But I noticed this one thing. We had a varsity football player in our suite, a bunch of freshman guys, and I got to know him and his friends, the other football players. Every single one of them had the same major. The football team's major was anthropology. They said, and I said, why? And they said, are you interested in anthropology? And they went, no, it's just the easiest one in school. We can graduate. We don't flunk out. I thought, down for that. So I majored in anthropology. And I graduated in anthropology, graduated from Wake Forest University in anthropology. I wasn't thinking of going on digs for the rest of my life. But I was really confused. And so I was like, God, what do you want me to do? I knew I was a Christian. I knew I could do music. And so I got to be in a Christian band. But at every transition, when I graduated from college, I had to trust in Christ. I had to trust in God for that transition. And then when I was at the end of being in that music group, should I go to seminary, I had an offer to be in another band that was like a big-time Christian band, which is kind of an oxymoron. And I went to seminary. And then I got married and went to seminary. And every single step of the way, I've left something familiar for something unknown. And that is what Jesus means when he says, I am the way. You aren't going to know all the details in your next transition. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be sad. It's going to be painful in some ways. But you know Jesus. You know the author of creation. And the author of creation is the one that is the way. That Jesus is the way. Whatever else happens in your life, if you're going from working to retiring, if you're going from not having a baby to having a baby, all these things we mentioned, if you are holding hands with Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus, you will find that way. You will drop those nets and you will follow again. And that is what this whole thing is about. Jesus was not going to give them a 6-point answer to that question. You do this first, this first, this. When he says, how can we know the way? And Jesus goes, it's me. I'm the way, man. It's me. If you don't know where to go, it's me. If you don't know what the truth is, alternative facts, it's me. I'm the truth. If you don't know where living is, what life is, where abundance is, life is me. That's all you need to know. It's me. And so that's where we are. All these kids that are graduating in St. Andrews today, Scotland High School, when? Next week? June 9th. Oh, really? Wow. June 9th. They're still working. You know, all of these transitions, all the ones that you're thinking about are based on the way, knowing the way, knowing Jesus. I am the way. And I know people that are listening to this right now who are deep into grief. And so I say this to you. I don't know all the details, but I know that staying in a relationship with Jesus is the way. And one of the old phrases that used to come back to me, two of them. One is, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Now, you can do all this liturgy and everything, but at its core, it's a relationship with a friend who happens to be the author of the universe. And the other thing is that old Four Spiritual Laws track applies to every day in your life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God really does love you and really does have a plan for starting today to leave these nets and to follow. So I'm going to close with a song that I wrote. A few years ago, I was talking to a friend, and he had just decided to stop working at the church he was at. He was also a musician. And so we were talking, and I was going, "Man, what are you going to do?" And he said, "I don't know, man. I'm just on the road to God knows where." And I said, "Yeah." And then I started thinking about how true that was, that he was on the road to God knows where. He was on that road because God does know. God's seen it. God's seen the next part of your road. So anyway, this song is called Dance Together. We have gathered from far and near. Lord, you've drawn us, you've brought us here. Friends already and friends to be. Sisters, brothers, becoming family. So let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the God knows where. We have troubles, we all have flaws. We are not worthy to heed your call. We cry, leave us, Lord, go away. You say, take my hand and dance with me today. Let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the at the crossroads of our years. Dance together down the road to God knows where. So here's the moment distilled in time to leave this fishing, these nets behind. Trade things familiar for things unknown. Lord, we offer up our lives and follow down your road. Let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. Let us dance together with love and laughter and without fear, holding hands with the Creator at the crossroads of our years. dance together down the road. Forever on your road, dance together down the road. To God knows where. Let's pray together. Oh, thanks. Let's pray together. Lord, our hearts are troubled. We just totally confess that our hearts are troubled. We don't like change any more than your disciples liked it. But help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to hold on to you as the author of the complete story. We only see half the story. Give us courage, give us faith, give us healing, give us strength to walk down that road that only you know about, to route down the road, the way that is you. In Jesus' name we pray.